What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.
Hello.
Good morning, YouTube. Hope our faces are okay today.
No chipmunk voices. We're doing good. Football Friday.
Got the makeup on. We're ready to go.
That's right. Covered up the splotches.
Absolutely. These kids nowadays don't deal with pimples the way we did. They got these bandages that just blend in with their skin.
It's ridiculous, man. It's like a cheat code.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous.
Show it off. Pizza face. Come on.
As a guy who actually had pimples in high school, I'd say, yeah, I wish I had them.
Be yourself, man.
You didn't have acne.
Oh, I had horrible acne. I had to take Accutane when
I
was younger.
I did too. Yeah,
it was really bad.
Old sulfur facials that they did?
Dude, we had a trifecta Accutane show here.
The sulfur facials, I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that. That sounds like something from the 20s.
I don't know. This stuff with like dry ice and sulfur like sizzled your cheeks
and
chin.
I had to take pills and creams and all kinds of crap, man. Welcome to the pimple show.
The pimple life, baby.
Look at us.
The pimple life.
The acne boys.
A lot of confidence in middle school with pimples and braces. That's all you needed walking around.
I want
to go to the dance with me on Friday.
Working the deep fryer at Taco Bell at age 15.
Getting acne at the back end of high school is worse than getting it at middle school.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's awful.
Late acne is way worse.
The only thing that saved me was being decent in sports. Girls will look past your acne if you can make a basket.
This is very true. That was a good early lesson in life, that your looks don't matter if you're good at something of that level.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
Jim Harbaugh jumps into the cold plunge tank with his full coach's outfit on every day after practice.
Damn right he does.
He's an absolute psycho.
I love that man.
Chargers-Steelers is going to be just a delightful mess.
Sicko football.
No idea if Herbert's going to play.
I think he's going to play. That dude's tough as nails.
He ain't moving around much.
That's fine. He had basically broken ribs for an entire season and played through it, and we criticized him for not winning it much. I think he's going to play. 2-0 start. I would be surprised if he's not in the lineup, and that final will be 9-7.
Yeah. Very well could be 9-7. Could also be 19-17.
In the overhits.
In the overhits.
Are we betting the under? How do we not take the under in Chargers-Steelers?
Don't we need rain in that game
to hit the under?
No, I mean just
in general,
just to do the aesthetic, right?
Yeah, some sort of
to make
late,
that game
late summer, early fall.
I need a grass stain on TJ Watt's shoulder pad. Or actually, they're wearing black, huh? I need a grass stain on Herbert's shoulder.
He'll get one. 78 and sunny in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Yeah.
That's not a slog fest.
No.
That's too nice.
Yeah, that's very
too
nice.
Fast of a track for those offenses.
A lot to get to in the second hour of the program. NFL. We'll dive more into some college matchups specifically. Big weekend for my guy Trent Bray.
Massive
weekend for Trent Bray down in Corvallis this weekend.
It is, man. Big recruiting weekend. You're hosting a Power Four school. And I have always viewed this game. I think I remember saying this in July and August. We're doing season previews and
you
all
did
that.
Say this. I noted it on my show sheet.
I know that it was, you know, Tyler tried to save the audio and send it to me last week. A little premature on that one, but I didn't think he had a chance of beating Oregon in week three. And this to me was, I liked your chances to go 2-0. The early schedule was not tough. I thought you were going to lose to Oregon. This to me is the swing game of your season. If you beat, not that Purdue's a world breaker, but there are some mindfalls there the rest of the season. If you can beat Purdue, the next two games are winnable. You're looking at a very realistic chance of being 5-1 at the halfway point with a young team that's gelling and developing and figuring out how to play. So many new faces.
Yeah.
So I think you like your chances to get better late in the year. This is the one that's a swing one for me. If you can't beat Purdue at home, I'm not sure how I feel about you against UNLV, against Cal, against Boise, against Washington State. Could be a long year. You win this one, I think the sky's the limit on where you can go.
Well, what I would say to that, too, is at Purdue, Purdue, who we said yesterday, they're one of the weirder teams to figure out in college football. Yep. They've played just two games, and they've beaten Indiana State in blowout fashion, and they've gotten their teeth kicked in by Notre Dame.
Yep.
How you conclude what they are, I don't know, other than you're either diehard Beaver fan and you're just telling yourself they're dog crap, or you actually have a really good feel from what you've seen if you've seen Purdue play. I honestly have not. I didn't watch a second of that Notre Dame game. I saw the score and I went, nope.
I'll tell you what Notre Dame did. They ran the ball, and then they ran the ball again, and then they ran the ball again, and then they ran the ball again.
I know that from looking at the box score. I did not watch a second. I know they have Hudson Card. Okay. But Purdue coming in, I think you're right on. It is a turning point, because if you don't win the game, woo, you're going to have a lot of questions. I still think you can win, though, and have all those teams you just named in front of you and say, not sure yet.
It's not a certainty,
you
know? For sure.
Like, you can win this game. And I put a poll question up last night just out of curiosity, where some people were at feeling it, of just what is the Oregon State expectation for Purdue? Because if you would have asked me this 2 weeks ago, I'd probably be like, oh, blow them out. Just Purdue sucks. And that might be what happens. Be blowout, win by 7-10, cover the spread, which is 4, or just win. Overwhelming, just win.
Yeah.
Beaver fans not dabbling with any number stuff. They're just win the football game, beat a Big Ten team, and move on with your season while still acknowledging UNLV looks good so far. Washington State, we know, and they have an interesting game tonight. We know that they have Boise State at Boise State. And Cal, the woke agenda, is out here undefeated. Might be 4-0 after beating Florida State this weekend.
They should be.
There's still games in front of you that make you kind of scratch your head and wonder, can the Beavs win it? But I think you're right. This feels like, in a weird way, a very huge point of their season. Only, what, this is game 4? This is a massive moment for Trent Bray. How does your team respond after getting embarrassed at home? How does your team respond against a team that, so far, their sample size says, what you do well is a bad thing for that other team?
Yes.
How you respond at home. The fans are showing up. They're doing a stripe-out thing in Corvallis. I think it's huge. I also am kind of curious. It's a Spraguing Line Friday, so this is usually when we bring up gambling stuff with games. It's interesting that that line has dropped from 6.5 to 4.
I don't know what to make of that.
I don't either.
Just simply Big Ten versus no longer Power Four conference team, because there's nothing that Purdue showed last. I watched that game. I went back and watched it this week. There is nothing that you would take away from that would say, you know what I want to do next week? I want to gamble on Purdue. That was 42-0 at the half, man. They didn't have a hope and a prayer in that game, and Notre Dame lost a starting offensive lineman early, and Riley Leonard has struggled to throw the football early in the season. So it's funny that I use all of those, and Notre Dame is, without question, a better team than Oregon State. I'm not trying to compare the two, but it is funny, the comparisons. What does Oregon State struggle to do? Throw the ball. What did Notre Dame struggle to do? Throw the ball. Where does Oregon State have injuries piling up? Offensive line. Where did Notre Dame have injuries piling up? Offensive line. What's Notre Dame's strength on offense? Running the ball. What's Oregon State's strength on offense?
Everything
running
is
the ball.
Lining up for them.
All these things. And you're not going to win the game. What was the final? 66-7? That's not going to happen. It's not going to be 42-0 at the half, because you don't have the defense that Notre Dame had, and they're going to be able to move it a little bit on you. I think sometimes these games boil down to simply matchups, and can your matchup strength advantage win against theirs? And if you could run the football, I love your chances to win this game. Like, 2 weeks ago, we just did this at Washington State. Like, let's not sit here and act like Texas Tech is some world beater. Texas Tech's not a very good football team this year. They're terrible away from home. Washington State was a +3, I believe, in the turnover margin. They had a huge second quarter. Outside of that, didn't really do a lot, and they won the game by 20 points. But it doesn't matter if it's a good or bad team. That was a statement win for them, and it was a major confidence booster to say we beat a team from a conference that we should be in. We should be in the Big 12, and we beat them by 20 points on our own field.
Yeah.
And I think now you're going to get Oregon State's best shot, because it's the same thing. Whether Purdue is this juggernaut, it does not matter. I think the symbolism is what matters. This is a team that's from the Big Ten coming to your
house.
That's
how I view it, too.
It's a team, it's a conference that took the in-state rival, yes, and it ripped your conference apart, taking USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington. And so it's an opportunity for you to say, you know what, double birds to you, dude. We can still play football out here. You're not going to travel well with your fan base, because you shouldn't. I don't know why they would want to come to Corvallis. That team's not very good.
Oh, there's always a couple Purdue Boilermakers random
gold shirt here or there. Yeah. But like, come on, man.
A little, I bet you there's more.
Not coming out to Corvallis.
I bet you there's like 70 to 100 people that show up for this in the black and gold.
Like, well, four rows.
Coming, or are they bringing that ginormous drum?
That stupid drum and their train sound.
I mean, they've got Big Ten money. They could afford to bring the band if they wanted.
They can boiler up.
Yeah, boiler up.
The
if
meanest
you want.
Thing we do is we make the band go to the top left corner of stadiums.
You should. That's the best thing about college football.
Lucky
you walk your ass up
building.
With your tuba to the top row of this stadium, bitch. That's the way it's going to work. I just think it's the symbolism, and that's why you're going to get a good effort from Oregon State.
Swag, how would you answer that poll question? Expectation. What do you expect from Oregon State? Now, I just want to say this very quickly. You lose. Ooh, Monday is going to be a difficult
thing
to
hear. Yeah, Monday's a doozy. If that, 7 to 10. I think I said yesterday 31-21 is where I'm seeing.
So, right in that
7
to 10 split. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's about the expectation then.
Yeah, that's
kind of where I'm at too.
I mean,
you cover the number, but.
Yeah, I think they'll, you know. They do, the one thing they do, Purdue obviously had difficulty dealing with. And so if they can, you know, one, they got to hold on to the football. So you can't turn it over, period, because they're not equipped enough to overcome those, especially if they give Purdue a short field. So, but if they make Purdue to have to drive the length of the field to score, I think Oregon State eventually will wear them down with their running game.
See, it's such a moment for Bray to say, guys, here's the tape, but don't look at this tape and say, we're winning 66-7 as well.
No.
You know, you can
no,
just...
No, I think yeah. you show... I think you break it down. I think you get very clinical of specific plays that Notre Dame, how they do their running
sure.
game that is similar to what you're doing. It's like, okay, this is how we have to attack this, and you pay attention to the details, and you don't look at the big picture of...
Just go play your game.
Yeah.
Just go play your game. The positives you highlighted, Dirt, on Monday, Tuesday from the Civil War game, I didn't feel as positive because, well, the outcome is the outcome, as Lanning would say.
Yeah, final score is final score.
But you take those positives and you say, you know what? Now take that anger and frustration you felt from what that outcome was
yeah.
and apply it to a Purdue team this weekend that kind of falls right in line with what we do well against our opponents.
And then can Ryan Gunderson in his play calling look at, you know, the passing plays where Javonte McCoy is having success, kind of that short, more West Coast offense, quick slants, quick hooks, flood three receivers on one side in a little route, and he can pick out very quickly. So the minute he hits that back foot on a five, you know, or whatever he's doing, that ball's coming out. On those sorts of plays, he's really effective.
He was.
If he's trying to hang out and they're trying to get routes down or crossing routes or stuff is where he gets a little sketchy.
Especially with the injuries up front. You just don't know how your offensive line's going to hold
well,
up.
I don't know about
two
Purdue's defensive
down.
Pass rush either. That's
Neither
not
do
going
I.
to be Oregon. So.
No, it's not. And they gave up 66 points to Notre Dame, who is offensively challenged. The zone read for Notre Dame ate them alive.
Yeah.
The quarterback run game ate them alive. Riley Leonard had a big day on the ground. I would say, too, they're probably not going to do this. If I were in that coaching room, I would look at the series we're giving Jabari Johnson and seriously question it. That was a disaster.
Yeah. But
last
but
weekend,
can
they
I
move
counter
that? Second quarter.
Can
do
I
that
counter
in the second
that?
Quarter?
Sure. Or this is not Oregon. I think that would be the argument of like we might not be up 21-0 when he comes in
because it's the third series of the game. I think
it's
right?
usually
that
the third.
Him?
That's yeah. I think they did that with Aiden. It was the second or third last year with Aiden. So Bray clearly was in on that idea of it. But if it's 7-0, and so far, I mean, I hear what you're saying. It does. There's a momentum thing. There's a rhythm thing that it kind of takes away.
They moved the ball on their first two drives, and they brought him in, and it was fumbled snap, drop snap, incomplete pass, punt.
It wasn't
it
good.
Was like,
it was not good.
That's a bad moment. And again, to your point, maybe it's a different defense, and he's going to be better to execute it. And as we've highlighted, Purdue has had a hard time with running quarterbacks, so maybe it's just him running around and making plays, and you score on that drive. You very well could. I just... That to me was a bit of a red flag of, I understand why you're doing it. He's a highly touted kid. You don't want him to hit the transfer portal. You want to give him the time and say, hey, look, we're building this towards being your program. But at some point, if it is detrimental to your team, you do have to look in the mirror. So maybe this weekend isn't the time to do it. But if they look good offensively, their first two drives again this weekend, they bring him in and drive three, and it's a disaster.
I think
you got to pull the plug on that.
I think
at some
it gives
point.
The opposing defense an opportunity, a break, because you become much more one dimensional.
You know, and he's coming in to largely run the football.
Until they develop the package where there's a true threat of him passing in some capacity. I think you give the defense a series off.
Is this Clemens kid going to play?
He's supposed to this weekend, I believe.
I feel like I've been hearing that for a month.
Yeah.
I'm kind of to a point where I'm like, I'm going to believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great for your offense, and I don't know if it's a quarterback issue, an offensive line issue, or just a simply weapons issue, to have somebody who could be a game changer on the outside down the field. Like, Trent Walker's a good wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's more, it seems like, bubble screen, slants.
He's a
catch
possession
a quick hit.
Guy, right?
Possession
and
guy, when I need to make third down and six, I'm looking
right.
for him.
Yeah. So having a guy like that on the outside, if he can be that, would be massive for them. And I think it's important for them, too, like, whether it's working or not.
Yeah.
How many times? I'm trying to think. I can't remember off the top of my head. How many times have they even tried to throw the ball downfield against Oregon?
More
than 20 yards down the field. How many
attempts? Not until late when they were trying.
Sure, maybe at the end of the game. Like,
yeah.
There's something there where you got to keep a team honest, and just whether you're completing it or not, just like the safety's got to think about something, and it can't just be downhill run attack the entire game.
You can vote. What are your expectations for Oregon State against Purdue at Dirt and Sprague? There are four options up there. Just win. Beavs covering the spread, which is 4. Win by 7-10. Or a Beav blowout. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague on that one. More college football, NFL around the corner. We'll Sprague the line at 8:30. So get the Sprague line sponsors in. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
P1 Brad says Notre Dame lost 2 starters in the O-line and 1 on defense. If the Beavs can get outside, they'll roll. Purdue safeties are very poor at tackling.
That's tough long-term for them. They were already without one guy, and then one of their guys went down on like the second drive of the game. That was tough for Notre Dame this weekend.
It's tough because I write all these football notes. I'm never ready when some basketball breaks into my life and Swag's like, hey, Joel Embiid's making a lot of money. I'm like, did an extension get announced?
Remember the dream of him coming to Portland? Once upon a time, alive and well.
He liked my tweet.
Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard was going to be the duo that brought us a championship.
That might be my most famous tweet ever. That or Steph Curry being the best player in his draft.
Yeah, I think those are your 1-2 punch right there. It's your 1A and 1B. Best Brandon Sprague Twitter moments.
I'm retiring after that. There's a report that they're after Shams to be the new Woj at ESPN. Mm. Their power ranking preference to be the new Woj. Shams is an easy number one. Like, it's not supposed to be even a close gap.
He's also a free agent currently. He just left his job, like he knew this was coming.
I mean, he had to have been celebrating because he knows he just made a few million more, right?
Yes. I think ESPN's going to pay him a little bit better than, where was he, Stadium before that? Was that where...
He's like 4 different outlets.
Yeah, he's been bouncing around
there, The Athletic, where he was.
Yeah, yeah. FanDuel. He had a bunch of stuff. I would also argue the most overpaid person in our industry.
I'm okay with that take.
All he does is tweet, and then we move on. He doesn't. Does he ever give any substance? He just parrots what GMs want him to say or the agents.
And he's got Kay Adams in the bag, and he's fumbling it. Like, that's a whole nother thing with Shams.
That's a different conversation.
Kay Adams wants her some Shams, and Shams...
Kay Adams is like, dude, I want to go on a date with you. And he's like, I got a cell phone.
Some backup power forward just signed a 2-year, $7 million contract. I got to break the news. Dude, it's Kay Adams. What are we doing here, man? Shams, come on. Just for that. If I'm ESPN, I'm not signing him.
Chris Haynes is number 2.
Okay.
Jake Fisher. our old friend from Yahoo, we can no longer get on the show anymore.
No.
He's number three. That's their power ranking of newsbreakers and who they want to replace Woj.
Maybe I'm biased because the local ties. I think I go Chris Haynes.
You want Haynes?
I think that'd be my number one pick over Shams. Let Shams do his thing somewhere else. We'll show you
but
the worldwide leader.
Is Haynes going to beat Shams?
I think he can beat Shams.
Shams is 25.
He is.
Which is insane to say. He's been in our lives for a decade.
Been around a while.
Haynes has four children, and it's not that he hasn't been a newsbreaker and worked his ass off. It's just, can you outwork the 26-year-old who doesn't take a second off of his life, and he's on his phone all the time?
The other thing, too, that never was really talked about with Woj, but was always the truth, is he was really bad on television. Like, he was a great newsbreaker.
Did you hear the punk?
And the insight, and it just was not, like, so I think Haynes gives you, I think he gives you a little more juice on TV.
Him and Stein do a good pod.
He's better, Shams is not, I mean, there's nothing there. Like, you put him on NBA Countdown or NBA Live or whatever show that you're going to plug him into that they do during the day. With Kendrick Perkins yelling dumb things, I think I'd rather have Chris Haynes be on that show than I would Shams.
I am absolutely jealous of Shams, though, because NBC, Amazon, and ESPN are all going to be offering him like $50 million contracts. And he's not even 26.
No, that's a good deal if you could get it, man.
What a life.
That's a really good deal if you could be that insider.
We don't have enough time here because I want to dive into a game. I'll leave some of the games in college. We got Kyle Whittingham going to Stillwater. Lincoln Riley going to the Big House. I think this is the first time USC's gone to Michigan since 1966.
How about that? Fun factoid.
Yeah. It's been a long time since this game's been played.
Yeah, they usually only met in the Rose Bowls,
yeah.
They had a tweet where they were flying to Ann Arbor, and the USC football Twitter page said, "We're heading to Big Ten country," to which people responded, "Aren't you Big Ten country now?"
Well, technically.
You're technically in the conference. Isn't that technically Big Ten country?
I continue to think a team is on upset alert, but they could prove me way wrong. Kansas State's a weird team. They're going to BYU for a late one.
Get your burritos ready.
And some NFL games. Do you want to talk at all about the governor candidate Mark Robinson of the state of North Carolina?
No.
I'm going to go ahead and pass on that one, Bob. I'm going to go ahead and pass.
Did you see the story?
I'm going to go ahead and punt. I'm going to go ahead and punt on that one. I'm going to elect to not do that one. Let's not do that one.
Black Nazi running for governor.
It's a hell of a conundrum right there. It's like sounds like a Chappelle Show skit. Like, wait, what? You're a what now again? By the way, people are telling Shams is 30, not 25.
Oh, I thought he was 25.
No, I Googled
him. He started doing this when he was in college.
Yes. So he's been about 10 years. He probably started doing it when he was young 20.
Okay.
So he is 30 years old.
Finally got to 30.
April 1st, 1994 was Shams' birthday.
It's insane how young he is.
30 years old.
Swag's been busting his ass in this business for 20 years. And Shams has been doing this for 10.
He's almost been at the Fan as long as Shams has been alive, which is wild to think about.
Not far behind.
No,
this governor candidate kept getting on this porn forum and just, boy, go look at this story if you haven't. Mark Robinson. And then he came out and was like, no, I'm not dropping out.
No, I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
Got all the evidence in the world that it was him.
I better go ahead on a limb here and say that nothing good happens on a porn forum.
Especially in the early 2000s.
Has anything good ever come from a forum?
Well,
on a porn site.
A lot of good. Well, it depends on who you are on that forum.
I mean, I'm not saying, hey, you go watch whatever you want to watch. Do your thing. We don't kink shame here. But when you're commenting on a porn forum, that's, you know, maybe reflect a little
bit. People were like, oh, this is going to get him to drop out. He was like,
no,
I'm not dropping out. This is fake. The internet's fake.
Nothing matters in 2024,
those people
man.
People are delusional.
Yeah, nobody drops out for anything anymore.
Had you heard of him before yesterday? Because if you heard him talk, you'd know he was delusional.
I could not have picked the North Carolina governor out of. Is he currently running?
He's a candidate, okay. But he's currently the lieutenant governor.
Oh, he's lieutenant governor.
Yeah. Yeah. Self-proclaimed black Nazi.
Lieutenant governor. Got a lot of free time.
He does. He had to fish around online.
Not great, Bob. The internet exposing a lot of his history. Not great.
There was a funny thing from Jeff Schwartz, former Duck, who lives in North Carolina, and he had a tweet basically saying, my wife's not online, and so she gets this news like 2-3 days later.
She reads it in a newspaper.
Not reacting to it in real time on social media. And he's like, I don't even know where to begin on this one.
Yeah,
like,
where do you start?
So there's this thing.
He talked about his sister-in-law. He hooked up with his sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Complimented her. Yeah.
The way it tasted.
What?
Likes the taste.
Football Friday on the Fan. Let's get to that. We'll Sprague the Line an hour from now. We got some big matchups in college. We'll get into some of the NFL action as well. Some interesting games. Are the Lions going to be 1-2? Are the Ravens going to be 0-3? What do we do with the Jags if they fall to 0-3? And the Eagles. Everybody looking at the Eagles this weekend with the Saints having something to prove as well against a better opponent. We got a lot to get to. Spring Line sponsors are welcome to Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
All right, in a couple moments, I want to debut a new Friday segment that will probably only last a couple of weeks because I'll forget, but at least in the short term, we'll do it.
Oh, I have a Tuesday segment I'm debuting next week.
A new Tuesday segment. I like that.
Yeah.
It's called NFL Pressure Cooker.
I love it.
Three teams.
I won't let you forget this.
With the most pressure on them this weekend in the NFL.
Of all the games and all the teams.
All the games, all the teams, whatever three. Who are the three teams with the most pressure on them this weekend to get a dub and to look good doing it?
I've been using my Instapot.
You an Instapot guy?
I made some soup the other night. Well, it's the quickest way to cook like a chicken breast.
Totally is.
And we had shredded chicken tacos last night.
That's a good way to do it.
So I like the pressure cooker idea.
Throw it in there. It's cooking. You got it beeps at you. It's all done.
I'm most interested to see if I agree with your take.
Yeah, we'll see. I want you guys, everybody bring their three teams with the most pressure. We'll get to that in the next segment.
Could have texted that last night, but okay.
I know I was going to, and then I forgot.
Lazy ass.
I know. I'm an idiot.
I didn't see a text from either one of you last
night.
Whoa.
Well, during the game.
You and I were Ohtani.
Yeah, you guys were doing your Ohtani thing.
But then, as far as...
We had some Dutch Rudder Ohtani going
you
on.
You guys were getting your rusty trombones on last
night, were.
Dude. speaking of that, so I ended up just having the game on in the background for a good chunk of it, and it was horrendous, and I know we talked about that earlier. There's nothing on the New England side of this, and maybe that part of the answer answers the question that I'm going to ask. Anything there with Rodgers last night? Because he looked good. He was moving well. And his number, he had that touchdown pass in the corner past Christian Gonzalez where it was kind of that laid out. Gonzalez tried to cut the route, and it looked like a vintage Aaron Rodgers throw. Now, I know you're out on COVID toy boy. But he looked good last night. Anything there, or is it New England?
No, I more than willing to give him his flowers. I picked him last year to win the division. I didn't know he's going to pop his Achilles four plays in. I'm out on them this year, though. I am not going to allow a Will Levis gift basket from the Titans last week and playing what I think is a bottom five team in the NFL who got a good win against Cincinnati, but I don't think is going to win a whole lot of games. Drake May, be on alert. You're going to be playing soon.
They put him in late in that game, and he just got demolished.
They're not a good team. Yeah. Don't let the Bengal win fool you here. The Bengals start slow. We stupidly fell into that trap. New England's not good. I don't think they're going to win more than five games. Good game. Still hasn't thrown for 300 yards since 2021.
He was close. What was he, 280 or 270?
281.
Yeah, 281.
Of all the things I went on my parlay, I did a little parlay and the under. My little parlay, I had him over 150 for plus 200. Like, that was an easy thing to see coming. I knew New England would try to slow the run down. It's New England. Good game. Give Rodgers his flowers. He had a good game. Jets fans felt good yesterday.
Yeah, it was a big primetime game.
I'm not getting over my skis any more than that.
Well, I think the biggest thing was he looked very comfortable rolling out and moving out of the pocket.
He scrambled a couple of times, too.
I mean, he's not, taking.
Who's their elite pass rusher in New England? I think we need to be putting the opponent
in. No.
Definitely
but it
fair.
Wasn't, it was just he was comfortable doing it. As opposed to...
He physically looked the part.
Yeah,
he looked like old
Rodgers. I think that was the thing in week one.
He didn't hesitate. He didn't try to hang in the pocket.
Yeah.
If it opened up, if they collapsed him inside and it lost contained, he was more than happy to roll out and take off.
That was an adjustment.
And so there's no hesitation about the Achilles or the ankle anymore.
San Francisco and Tennessee both got pressure on him in those games.
And he looked uncomfortable when it happened.
Kirk Herbstreit throwing just an absolute shot at Nate Hackett yesterday was hilarious. funny. He knows how to call plays now that number eight's playing.
It looks a little bit better now, huh? Looks a little bit better.
Or was that a shot at the rest of the media who was taking shots at Hackett?
See, he would probably tell you that because he doesn't want to be involved in controversy. I heard it as, this guy's not very good unless he has Rodgers, quarterback.
Yeah, I just, your point is 100% true. And guess what? You know who they play next week?
I don't, actually. I don't play
the New York Jets play the Denver Broncos at home.
They're going to win again.
So
you should
again.
Be likely 3-1.
I think after that, they got another easy one, and then they got a chance.
Then you get Minnesota at home, or Minnesota in an international game. So I don't know how you feel about Minnesota.
That's the London game.
So their stretch after that, they go Minnesota, Buffalo, at Pittsburgh.
See, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. And I'll put Minnesota in there now. We'll see what they do this weekend against the Texans. But I'm circling that saying, there. If you do that against those teams, you start to get me back a little bit.
Well, I think now... I feel like, there's no more there's no more thinking about the injury after what I saw last night.
And that was my takeaway, too.
Comfortable moving around. I mean, yes, he's 40 years old. He's not his old self, but there wasn't any hesitation. He didn't not do something that he should have done because of he's trying to protect his foot.
Didn't look skittish. Like, there's been times where him and Kirk Cousins, I think, early in the year have looked scared, like kind of scared in the pocket, uncomfortable, not planting their feet the way that they should when they throw. So that was the only thing. Like, everything you're saying on New England, spot on. And maybe part of the reason he was so comfortable was because New England sucks and they couldn't get a pass rush on him.
3 points.
They scored. I mean, their offense was just horrendous. That was unwatchable football. But that, to me, was the only thought to have a takeaway of if Rodgers can find any semblance of the form he had, then it gets into those conversations people were having a year ago. This is a, you know, should be a decent defense. They got okay weapons. They can run the football a little bit. And if you could find that with Rodgers, maybe there's something there.
And he was throwing it to everybody, too. That was the thing. It wasn't just Lazard or one or two guys. He threw it to everybody.
He had five guys with three or more receptions. Yeah. His targets were pretty evenly. Look, Conklin's not a bad player. Lazard had a nice little night for himself. You don't trust Mike Williams to stay healthy. I still don't really trust Lazard. Garrett Wilson's a good player. He had 33 receiving
yards.
And they haven't
figured, they're still working on it. And Rodgers said that in one of his post games because he talked about a couple of just timing things with Lazard. That's old instinct. And he said, wait till I get that with five.
I just don't know if I really, certainly you can build chemistry more with Garrett Wilson. I just don't know if I trust those targets enough.
Totally fair.
In the AFC. Now, their bread and butter should be Braylon Allen and Breece Hall.
Running the football.
And again, I think the opponent here matters a great deal. It's a good night for him. It's a good night for any questioning of his health. Somebody said Kirker's got the Kirkland Achilles rehab special, and Rodgers got the Gucci one. Like, there was a lot of that going around last night because he did. He was rolling out of the pocket. But I think he has to because Tennessee got pressure on him.
They did.
And San Francisco got to him and put pressure on him in that first game. So the interior of that Jets offensive line, we'll just see what that is going forward for them. But a nice win for them. They took care of New England. The under smashed.
Yeah, the big question, Jets, one of their starting offensive linemen went down.
And in the game, yeah.
And we'll see how serious that is.
It's a good reminder, too, of how big of a turd that product is on Thursday Night Football. Last week, we had Tua with the concussion and Miami getting blown out.
It should not exist.
Could be another one next Thursday.
Next Thursday's Dallas and New York Giants.
It's
Danny Dimes versus Dallas. I mean, just no thanks.
It's here for the rest of our lives. It should not exist. It's terrible for those athletes. It's terrible for the players. And largely, how many memorable, good Thursday Night Football games can you remember in your life? Can you think of one? I'm sure somebody at the text line is going to
throw one
out.
Somebody will come up with one.
But my point is, you think you hit you with that question, and you're like, Justin Fields and the Commies, 11-10. Yeah. You just think of bad games in your mind.
The first thing I picture, and I don't even remember, I think it was a Thursday night game, wasn't the Seattle-Arizona tie where they kept missing and everybody got hurt? Wasn't like a 6-6 finish? Wasn't that a Thursday night game?
I thought
game?
That was Sunday.
Was that a Sunday game?
Maybe that was Thursday.
Well, it was a bad product again, but Rodgers, the only talking point out of it. He did look good. He looked comfortable. He had a really good night last night, and they moved to 2-1 on the season. Speaking of pressure this weekend, NFL pressure cooker. Who are the three teams with the most pressure on them going into week three of the NFL slate? We'll talk about that next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Brian Baldinger coming up at the top of the hour. In 10 minutes, we'll talk some NFL with him, and I'm going to ask him the same question I'm going to ask you two gentlemen. People are texting into the Vancouver Ford text line, which, by the way, get your fake sponsors in for Sprague in the Line. We got some coming in on YouTube as well. We will Sprague the Line at 830-503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. People are saying, now this is cheating because this is no counties for me.
Okay.
People are saying you don't have to go back that far for a good Thursday game, the opener. The opener does not count. Because you're not, the whole point of Thursday Night Football being a bad product,
it's because it's after.
It's a short week, and guys are banged up, and it's just, you, especially if you play on the road, and then you got to go on the road again for Thursday Night Football, it's a disaster. So that, I don't like the opening game, everybody's fresh, nobody plays in preseason, most people are healthy, you usually get a good game in the opener. That's a no counties. You got to go middle of the season Thursday Night game, that when that product has been good, and I don't think there's many of them to choose.
Sure.
So I was sitting around yesterday and it just thinking about, I've been doing this thing on Fridays, like, hey, what's the biggest headline going to be on Monday? And sometimes we've hit, sometimes we've missed very bigly, if you will. And I just thought this is kind of a fun weekend in the NFL because there's teams with high expectations that are facing a lot of pressure, teams that many people thought could be playoff teams this year that maybe are not off to the start that they wanted. If I ask you, and you want me to go first, the three teams with the most pressure on them this weekend. So I'm going to start. Now, there's one team that's 0-2 that I'm not going to count because nobody cares about them, and I think you might be winning me over on this argument. The Jags are 0-2. They don't make my top three. No, the Jags don't have fans. Nobody cares down there. They should be an international team at this point. Like, get out of here, Jacksonville. Nobody cares.
They did come in with expectation, and Lawrence they just did. Got the contract.
He
so.
Did. They did pay him. There's no doubt about that. But you got to have fans in order to be under pressure, and they don't have fans. Nobody cares about Jacksonville. So I'm going to give you three teams with more pressure on them this week, okay? This is my top three pressure cooker teams. Number one has to be the Baltimore Ravens. AFC Championship last year, close loss in week one, horrific loss in week two. You're going on the road to Dallas. An 0-3 start would be disastrous for them, especially considering what they thought they were going to be coming into the year.
Yep.
Number two for me is a team in that division, which would be hilarious if they both lose and Pittsburgh wins, and the Steelers have a three-game lead in the AFC North. I got to go Cincinnati on Monday night. Joe Burrow is supposed to be in the same conversation as Patrick Mahomes. He almost beat him last weekend. You're 0-2. That loss wasn't bad. The loss to the Patriots, especially after what we saw last night, horrific. The Cincinnati Bengals are number two on my list. And then number three, because nobody cares about Jacksonville, I think you got to go to New Orleans this weekend, man. Nick Sirianni losing that game the way they did on Monday Night Football. Now you're going on the road to New Orleans, a playoff caliber, it looks like, at least team in the Saints. You fall to 1-2. What have they lost? 9 of their last 10 regular season games or whatever it is?
2-7 in their last 9.
2-7 in their last 9. Like, they are sinking like a stone. Hurts is not playing very good football. A 1-2 start. Philadelphia's hair is on fire. You agree with my pressure cooker?
Baltimore is hard not to agree on because the dreaded 0-3 start. I believe we've had three teams out of 21 start 0-3. It's further back than that. I can't remember the exact number, but it's like less than 5% of teams that start 0-3 make the playoffs.
Not good. They get the Bills and Bengals the next 2 weeks, too, by the way, after the Cowboys.
Yeah, and the Bengals are going to come in hungry, and the Bills are always a tough opponent. I disagree with your dismissal of Jacksonville a little too much.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying. I get it. 0-3, though, after signing that guy to the contract.
Not good.
And blowing what they did last year in their own division. Going to be a lot of questions for Jacksonville. Baltimore, I'll leave on that list. I'm going to throw one at you didn't mention, and I'm a little surprised.
Okay, who did I miss?
They had an awful game last weekend. They have not executed in the red zone. Jared Goff has one touchdown and three picks. The Detroit Lions losing at Arizona. And it's not a death sentence on their season. But you want to talk about pressure. This team came in as a Super Bowl favorite for some.
They did.
This is a massive season. How do you build off an NFC championship game that you blew? Well, a lot of people thought you'd come in and show that you're the most dominant team, maybe in the NFC. You lose to the Cardinals at Arizona. And there's going to be Lions fans at this game because Arizona's Arizona.
Yes, there will be.
I mean, a lot of questions popping up about old Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. They were dreadful last weekend against Tampa. Tampa took their lunch money.
They're close to being 0-2 as well. Their week one win was an overtime win against the Rams.
Absolutely. So falling to 1-2, not a death sentence, but I'm putting the pressure cooker on Detroit. Hard not to say Philadelphia as well because we know what Philly's going to be if they fall to 1-2, but I'll give you a different one. What is the takeaway if the Colts look like dog crap and the Bears win? Richardson looks terrible.
Yep.
And so you almost got to the playoffs with Minshew last year. He just won at Baltimore. Your next franchise guy is a every other pass. 8 yard slant, clean. Nope, can't make that throw. 80 yards down the field, falling away. Yep, I got it.
I can make that one.
You can't win in the NFL with that kind of quarterback play. Their defense just got embarrassed at Green Bay.
Yep.
0-3 is a death sentence for the Colts. So those would be my three pressure cookers.
Okay. Yeah, I got the
Detroit, Baltimore, Indy.
Yeah, okay. I got the Ravens one because of the competitiveness of their schedule and the division and the conference that they're in. They can't fall that far behind. The Eagles, because I think if they have another poor showing, somebody's going to be forced to start making decisions real quick. And the Colts.
Oh, you also have the Colts on your pressure cooker.
Two Colts picks.
I don't think.
I see the argument. They were a team I didn't even really think about.
The Cowboys are Teflon to pressure.
Nothing matters. Their division sucks.
Their division's everybody terrible. Just got paid. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing.
They're not going anywhere.
They'll find a way to get into the playoffs. But no, I think the Colts, and I look at it as, okay, if they lose, I think the Ravens is different because of nobody's going anywhere necessarily. Like, Harbaugh's not in trouble. Lamar's not in trouble. But their season could get away from them fast because of the division and the conference that they're in. The other two, I see decisions being made about quarterbacks, about coaches, about everything.
People losing jobs and getting fired.
Baltimore's run game's been atrocious. I would know. I have Derrick Henry on my fantasy team. And their defense is not as stout and as intimidating as it once was. And so if they are to lose at Dallas, there's going to be more questions. The Bears-Colts game is one of the worst games just from, I think, what we've seen from both. But what's more likely, the Bears actually having a run game or the Colts stopping the run?
Figuring it out, right.
I think one
of those quarterbacks looking good. They both had really rough starts to their year.
100%. But if the Bears can suddenly run the ball, oh my God, the Colts are going to have a million questions.
No doubt. All right, there's your NFL pressure cooker. We'll try and do that every single Friday. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Some final thoughts on the weekend slate in college football. Oregon State with a big game. Brian Baldinger is going to kick off the final hour. Sprague in the lineup coming at 8:30. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.